Well, I guess you're wondering why I've asked you all here today. Today, I intend to entertain you. I'm going to do a show for you. I'm going to dance and sing and tell jokes and wear funny costumes. This will be incredibly entertaining on your part.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I will now dance for you.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you, Jolene. Welcome to the program. I hope you're comfortable, because this is going to be a very uncomfortable program. For me. For you, you could enjoy it. I don't know. For me, it's uncomfortable. It's awkward. It's awkward. That's all. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to entertain you today in ways you've never been entertained before. I know it's a radio program, but you're supposed to use your imagination. That's the deal with radio, with audio. I paint a picture in your head, and you go with it. I don't have to show you photographs or anything like that. You are imagining what's going on in your head. And that's where this becomes very interesting. So let's get started now. To begin the show, I'm going to strip for you. I'm untying the laces on my shoe. They're untied now. I'm slipping my left shoe off my foot in a very graceful manner. But I'm not done. I'm untying the laces on my right shoe now. My lips are puckered like a seal. I don't know what that means either. My right shoelaces are now untied. I am now removing my right shoe from my right foot. Both my shoes have now been successfully removed. Here go the socks, ladies. First, I'm removing my left sock. Ooh, that hurt. Now I'm bending over, ouch, my back, to remove my right sock from my right foot. To be honest with you, that could have been my left sock on my right foot. I don't have my socks labeled right and left, so I might be a bit confused in the removal of the socks. Hey, my feet are now totally naked. I don't have any clothes on my feet at all. My toenails are like just out there. I would bend over and suck on my foot in a sexual manner for you, only that's physically impossible for me. In my right hand, I have a Q-tip. I'm inserting the Q-tip into my ear right now. I'm using my right hand, holding the Q-tip in my right hand and administering it to my right ear. I'm swirling it around inside my ear near the eardrum, which is not recommended according to what it says on the box, but I'm doing it anyway because I'm adventurous. I'm removing the Q-tip from my ear and noticing a large yellowish-orange waxy buildup on the tip of the Q-tip. With my tongue, I am licking the waxy substance off the end of the Q-tip in a very sexual manner. Oh, yeah, baby. Now it's time for me to shave. I am lathering up the shaving cream in my hand and putting the shaving cream on my cheeks. Now I'm reaching over to the side to get my razor, which I will now employ upon my face to remove my facial hair, stroke by stroke, in a very provocative manner. Ouch! I've nicked my neck. I've started to bleed just a bit. Small little drops of blood are trickling down my throat. I remain sexy as inside I begin to panic. I'm grabbing toilet tissue and administering it to my neck to stop the gushing of the blood. I believe it stopped, although I'm concerned that I may have greatly injured myself in the process. Well, that would probably be the best time to stop doing this, as I believe I need to pay a visit to urgent care to stop the flow of blood.
Listening to the Ron Van Dam Show is like realizing that you put your underwear on backwards this morning. It's wrong, but it doesn't feel bad, and it's not like anyone's ever gonna find out, so just go with it. This is the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
How did you like the bit about the stripping thing? Did you enjoy that? Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that a good time? I know. Thank you. I wrote that myself. Yes. So anyway, Thank you very much. Did you enjoy that?
It was unbelievably painful.
Tell me about it. Next week, I have an appointment with the devil. I've told you so many times, but you never listened to me. My doctor is a female. She's very, very nice. She's not from this country, which makes her an official doctor. I haven't run into an American-born doctor in years. Anyway, she's very good at what she does. She tells me. So I have an appointment with her for what they call a follow-up. A follow-up appointment with your doctor means we haven't received any money from you in about 6 months now, and it's time for you to pay some money to the medical group so that all of us can feed our children and buy them clothing. We need your money on a regular basis, so we're going to call you in here for what we will call a follow-up, which is only just a way for you to pay us twice a year as opposed to once. So I'm going for a follow-up next week to see my doctor. Here's the problem with that. It's the high holy days, and that means that as I'm not an extremely religious man, the alternative is to eat a lot of food. And that's what I do during the holidays. I eat large amounts of food. They can be fried, they can be steamed, they can be sautéed. I don't care what it is. I put it in my mouth and I swallow it. There are tons of cakes and pies all over the place and bowls of candy and ice cream and just sweet alcoholic drinks. They are temptations for the body that cannot be denied in any way, shape, or form. So this is a very bad time for me to visit my doctor next week when I will be at the height of my weight. My weight shall exceed my height by about 600 decibels. It's going to be tough for me. But I'm going anyway because when a doctor tells me to come into their office or his office or her office, I go because I don't argue with my doctor. My doctor is basically judge and jury of my physical being. So here's what I'm doing. Starting Monday, I'm going to go on a very strict diet. That doesn't mean I'm not going to eat food at all. It just means I will only eat vegetables. And hopefully I will lose approximately, let's see, how much do I need to lose by Thursday? 600 pounds. Can I do that? Can I lose an elephant? I've got to lose probably about 10 pounds is what my goal would be. That's the only way I can avoid the doctor saying to me, "What the hell did you do to yourself, you big foolish slob? You low-life piece of dirt?" That's how she talks to me. Well, not in those words. I can see it in her eyes that that's what she wants to say to me. She's very concerned about my weight. I'm not fat, but she thinks that weight-wise, she goes by what the government says. The government says you're obese if you're like 80 pounds. That's what they say. They've just changed the blood pressure thing too. Just when you thought you had your blood pressure under control, the government says, "Now we're going to make it lower." Oh, fuck you. How dare you change your numbers? Once I've attained my goal, you pull the rug right out from under me. This is why people don't like the government, for that reason alone. So I'm going to go in there, and she's going to weigh me like I'm going into a prize fight or something. And then she's going to look at me, and she's going to, her head's going to go back and forth from side to side, and she's going to, I'm telling you, Ron, this is not healthy for you. She calls me Ron. I don't know why she does that. I have an account number. I don't know why she doesn't refer to me by my account number. That's like how they really refer to me, actually. That's how they bill me. Thus, that's how I'm referred to. Now she's going to, she won't yell at me or raise her voice. She'll just, she'll fat shame me is what she's going to fat shame me. And then she's going to take my blood pressure and she's going to look at me and she's going to say, I don't know what to do with you. To be honest with you, Ron, I'm surprised you still walk upright. I am surprised that you're still breathing, to be honest with you. The last time I saw my doctor, she told me that she suggested that I go I go on a lifestyle change. And I said, what is that, a retreat somewhere? She says, no. She says, you should not be eating red meat. Well, then why do they make it? I should not be eating red meat. I should be eating fish at least 3 times a week. And this is like right out of the lake, apparently. I should be eating fish 3 times a week. I should steer away from red meat. Only eat the chicken. A lot of vegetables, a lot of fruit, and stay away from the carbohydrates. Try to stay with the salad, but not big on the salad dressings. I said, okay, so what you're trying to do is you're telling me from this point on, the rest of my life will be horrible. Is that what you're trying to tell me, doctor? And then you bill me for this? Life is going to be horrible and you owe me money? Is that what you're saying to me? So my visit next week will not be pleasant. I'll be wearing the lightest clothes I can possibly find so that when I get on the scale, you know, I'm going to be as light as possible. When I get on the scale at a doctor's office, I don't just step on the scale. I remove my keys from my pocket. I remove my big fat wallet, which they are trying to get a hold of. I take my shoes off. I remove my pants. I take a large crap. I make sure I'm as light as possible. After the examination, the quote-unquote follow-up, have you noticed, by the way, when they do a physical examination, they used to take this little rubber hammer, this little rubber mallet, and they would hit your knee to see if your reaction was good and if you kicked a little bit when they hit your knee. My doctor stopped doing that. And I don't know why. I don't know what the purpose of that was to begin with, other than the doctor was able to take her frustrations out on my kneecap. I don't recall that, why she did that, and she never explained it to me, and I never asked. It's embarrassing. Excuse me, doctor, why are you hitting my knee with a hammer? I didn't ask because I don't think they had a viable explanation for that. I think the response would have been because that's what I saw on TV, Ron. That's what they taught me in medical school. Well, why do you do that? I don't know. I think we just feel like hitting you. If we can't stick our fingers up your ass, we'll hit your knee with a mallet. I mean, we got to get our frustrations out somehow. Squeezing the hell out of your upper arm in order to, quote-unquote, take your blood pressure is not enough retribution for us. We need to hurt you more. So after this quote-unquote follow-up, she orders a blood test for me. I'd prefer she ordered like a ham and cheese sandwich for me, but that wouldn't fit in the regimen of which she suggested. She orders a blood test for me, and she says, are you ready to go downstairs to have the nurse draw your blood? I said, you don't have to draw my blood. I know what it looks like. You can take a picture of it if you'd like. No, I don't want them to take my blood today because I didn't fast. You didn't what? I didn't fast. Fasting means that you didn't eat anything. Why do they call it fasting? Why isn't slowing? What does that mean? Who's fasting? It's a lousy word for that. I hate having my blood drawn. I don't like it. I don't like people sticking needles in me. It's, I don't know, bothers me somehow. They try to find my veins. They have to send out a search party of six people to find my veins. Ron, you know, your veins are deep in your arm. Yeah, that's the way I like them, honey. I don't like my veins popping out from my skin. Not the kind, I know it's convenient for you to take blood, but not kind of where I want them. Yeah, my veins are deep. I'm deep. In testing my blood, it's a blood test, by the way. They test it, make sure it knows everything. And also, I have to do a urine test at the same time that they take my blood. I study for that urine test like for a week. But I always get it wrong, you know. They always say, pee in the cup. Is that my urine test? If I miss the cup, have I failed the test? Is that what it is? By the way, peeing in a cup, easiest thing I've ever done in my life. I'll pee in a cup any time for you. Day or night, whether I've had water or not, I don't care. I will always delightfully pee in a cup. There's something very freeing about that. You know what it is? I feel important. Like someone actually wants my pee. Who does that? Who does that? Ron, can you do me a favor? What, do you want me to help you move? No, here's a cup. Will you pee in it? You bet I will. This is going to be the easiest Christmas gift I ever gave you. You bet I'll pee in the cup. Are you kidding me? I love peeing in cups. Nope. As a matter of fact, you can't stop me. I'll pee in a cup anytime. You just tell me, I'll be there. You ever want someone to... I'm there for you.
Let's be honest. You are socially awkward. You've no idea how to start a polite conversation. You wouldn't know what to do or say if you stumbled into one. And when it comes to talking with members of the opposite sex, you're like a sixth grade wallflower at the school dance. You need help, and you know it. You need me, Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. For a courteous, prearranged fee, I am now offering wingman services for both men and women. Even if you've got the vocabulary range of a brain-damaged gibbon, with me at your side explaining to people what you rarely meant to say, every drool-drenched bit of drivel that slobs out of your scone hole will sound witty, erudite, and confident. And ladies, don't be shy. Take my arm and we'll go chat with the gent across the room with whom you've been exchanging glances all evening. Don't worry, he won't be intimidated by my extraordinary good looks. I guarantee he will only see me as your good British friend who happens to be incredibly gay. It's a service only I can provide, because I am Thompson St. Thomas, Fancy Bastard. So do let me know where we'll be going next, you and I.
Hey, the only thing worse than going to the doctor is going to the dentist. Dr. Alice Bogosian joins us now, and we're talking about taking care of your health during the holiday season, I assume, in the sense of the teeth.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. It's a time when we all celebrate, and it's a time when we may be choosing different kinds of foods because they're out there, because we're all having fun. So you have to be very careful of the kinds of foods that you choose.
Well, the fun can turn into some amount of money and pain if you're not careful, unfortunately. I love the holidays, but I can't stand the holidays, and it's because of the candies, the cakes, and the pies. Not only is it putting on weight, but, I mean, it's all this sugar coming into me, and I was told not to eat a lot of sugar for various reasons, including my teeth. How do I avoid something like that?
Well, you know, I think, I don't know about avoiding, but I think if you're aware of the types of foods that would wreak, let's say, less havoc on your teeth, for example, hard candies or dried fruits, those kinds of things stick to your teeth. If you're looking for something sweet
Yes.
Try a piece of chocolate. This dentist is telling you, pick chocolate over hard candy, because the chocolate won't stick into the grooves of your teeth like a piece of hard candy would, and the chocolate would rinse away. Other things that aren't sugary that you should just be aware of when you're eating are things like potato chips and pretzels. Those things stick in your teeth, too.
Wow.
So the starchy foods tend to also contribute a little bit more to cavities and things. So,
okay, well, let me ask you, if I do eat those kinds of things and I either brush or perhaps I can mouthwash, is that helpful or just stay away from the foods if you can?
Well, you can do things, again, the stuff that sticks in your teeth, that's
that
a
stays.
Tough call.
Okay.
You're going to have a sugary cocktail. Follow it with a glass of water. Rinse your mouth out. Drink the water. Rinse your mouth out so that you get that sugariness out of your mouth. So that's really important.
So when you're drinking, so if you have alcohol during the holidays, which we all do except for the kids, then the sugary drinks would be more of a concern than something that is not sugary, like a white wine or a vodka or something.
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
The sugary drinks certainly will be more of a culprit.
Right.
However, any alcohol will dry out your mouth.
Oh.
Saliva is a really important thing because the saliva will rinse your teeth and rinse off the plaque and bacteria. When you have alcohol, your saliva slows down considerably.
Oh.
Then the plaque and bacteria stick to your teeth and you can have a chance for getting more cavities. So that's really, really key to remember. But the big message here is you want to maintain some healthy habits, not just during this holiday season, but year-long.
Okay.
So make sure you clean in between your teeth. Make sure you brush twice a day with a toothpaste that has the ADA seal and that has fluoride as well. Choose these products with the ADA seal because that seal basically tells you that those products will do what they claim. Visit your dentist regularly.
Uh-huh.
That's key because that health professional can take a look at you and make sure your mouth is healthy or get it healthy so that you can have a healthy body and you can maintain these habits year-long. That's the most important message.
Okay.
And of course, everything ramps up during this season. And you know, we do things that we normally wouldn't do during the rest of the year.
That's for darn sure. No question. It's temptation and discipline that it's being tested. That's what the holidays are for, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, discipline year long, because again, if patients knew how important, if everyone, not patients, people knew how important it is to just clean between your teeth.
Yeah.
Because the toothbrush goes on the fronts of your teeth, the backs of your teeth, the tops of your teeth, won't go in between your teeth. So it is as important as brushing. So make sure you clean between your teeth as well.
All right, I will. Can you just comment on those newfangled contraptions now? They're like water picks, and then there's the vibrating brush tips. I mean, we've almost gotten so far away from using the manual toothbrush where you go back and forth with your hand. Are these things effective?
Well, this is what I tell my patients.
Yeah.
If you're using a piece of floss and a good old-fashioned manual toothbrush properly, that will do the job.
Mm-hmm.
The key is using it properly. However, I tell my patients, if it's going to motivate you to use a newfangled product, so be it. Because the end game is just keeping your teeth clean so that you can keep your mouth healthy. So, again, you can get the same result by using just the old-fashioned piece of string and the old-fashioned toothpaste or toothbrush.
And what about mouthwashes? Are they worth the trip, or are they sometimes harmful, or what's the deal on those?
Well, you know, if you're selecting a mouthwash, first of all, select a mouthwash with the ADA seal because that will tell you if it is effective at what it says. You also have to be careful because some mouthwashes have alcohol in them. And what did we talk about? Alcohol, you know, flowing down your saliva. So that's that's really important too. But again, make sure that you have discipline at home when it comes to cleaning your teeth properly. Choose a healthy diet and visit your dentist regularly that you could be on top of anything that could be lurking.
All right. How often do you brush a day? How many times?
Well, that depends on any given day. At minimum two. At minimum two, and I am flossing my teeth on a daily basis.
Okay.
Sometimes it's three and four, depending on what I've eaten.
All right. Yeah, there you go. The American Dental Association, the ADA, is found on those products which are recommended and safe and tested. So that's what we go for. That's what we look for. And
The ADA seal. It's a seal that you'll see on the products.
Perfect. Perfect. Where do I go for more information if I care to do so?
More information would be found at mouthhealthy.org. Everything that I've said and so much more, that is, there's some great, great tips on that, particularly for everything we've spoken about.
Perfect. Have a great holiday, Doctor.
Thank you. Same to you. And remember, keep healthy so you can keep celebrating.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Another show has been wrapped up nicely and tightly for your edification. I'll be back again tomorrow with another program. Until then, I wish you peace. Go forth now and multiply. And then you can divide and subtract. Do all those things now. Go away.